Good evening.
Because y'all should see a message on your end that says, Zay.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Am I lagging? No. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for what you all have been waiting for, tonight's conversation with your favorite HBCU aunties. We have the lovely Mia tonight and Tyon. Are you ladies ready to get into it?
Let's get
Let's do
it.
it. Let's get into it. So, what are we talking about tonight, ladies?
So just a little casual conversation tonight. I think I know I'm vexed from the weather here in sunny Chicago. Y'all know I've been a Midwesterner all my life, so I'm used to, frigid cold and all of that. So it's no thing, but it can be, a big inconvenience. But this time kind of inspired me to talk about some of the things that happen during this inclement weather when you are a college student. I believe my whole college career, undergraduate, every year we had a major snowstorm because I was living on the East Coast. Lincoln University freshman year in the hills of Amish land of Pennsylvania, we got dumped like 16, 17 inches of snow. Let's see, from 1994 to 1996, Baltimore was hitting it every year with 20 plus inches every year. And we would get caught in that. It seemed like every time it was Martin Luther King's birthday, it was time to get back. If you didn't get back to that campus right before the day of service, you were stuck because then campus was shut down for probably about a week. I think during that time, it was a week. But also, like I said, I'm a Midwestern, I'm used to it, but Baltimore, 2 inches of snow, shut it down. Oh
It's 17 degrees tomorrow here in Atlanta and the schools are closed. I'm confused. I'm looking up in the air like Chicken Little, like, what's going on? It's nothing. It's no moisture. It's not cold. And they're closing just because it's gonna be cold. I was like, must be nice. Must be nice, Atlanta.
Well, I'm
But
gonna
it's
say
not happening.
you have to close it because it's cold. Because right now I'm dealing with negative 24. I need you to understand that. On top
Wow.
of the snow that we just got. And so again, being that HBCU mom, I was trying to get ahead of the storms and trying to get him out because it was reminiscent of my time that I spent in undergrad again every year around this time a major snowstorm. So I moved flights around and everything, trying to get him out early. Mother Nature was like, ha ha. So he didn't even end up getting back to his campus until 3 o'clock in the morning last, well, this morning. And I was, I'm panicking because I'm like, can you even get in your room? He was like, well, somebody was at the front desk to be able to to let us in and everything. But these are the times, I mean, where you get resourceful. Because remember, your food service is contracted or people that work in the, work in the community. So if they tell them not to come to work, what y'all gonna do? And what did we do? We did a lot. you always have those certain people that are more resourceful than others, some that were raised by grandparents and mothers that's always prepared for anything. And I'll tell you this, and Mia, you can attest to this too. My mother always made sure I was prepared. So I had all kinds of cooking devices in my room. I always wanted to make sure that I had some kind of snacks. I'm a picky eater too. So I would have my snacks and stuff like that. But for those days that you were just preparing yourself not to have to, eat in the cafeteria or the dining hall or whatever, you had, a few things reserved. But then, there are certain people who are not as prepared. And here they come knocking on your door. Oh, what y'all got to eat? And then that's one of those that's one of those moments you're like, do I really know
Start
you?
rationing it out in your mind.
Yes,
Like,
and how cool are we?
do I like you?
Do I like you? The
Do
question
I like
resounded.
you? Am enough to share my stash with you?
Can I expect this in return? you know, so but those were those moments too. Also, you know, you're restless. Y'all have nothing to do. And again, this generation kind of relies on technology a lot and devices and social media. So they're okay with, you know, just kind of being in the corner to themselves, checking out what's going on social media. We were like, we stuck. I'm sick of looking at roommate. I'm sick of looking at you. You sick of looking at me. What can we do? So
go outside.
We went outside. And can I tell you, even though we're supposed to be adults, all that snow turned us into big children. And when I say that's one of those pivotal moments in my HBCU life that I treasure to this day, being a part of a big cage match, snowball fight with members of whatever athletic team. I mean, the football team was out there, the track team was out there, the basketball team was out there.
Oh, wow.
Girls from the door. So you know literally what was going on. Wow. I mean, people were getting body slammed, snow mushed in the face, snow all like down your coat, up your coat. And it was no running, because once you was in that cage, you had to thug it out.
Nowhere to go.
That's but so it was all in love. And it was like one of those things where we really had so much fun and we bonded. Of course, we got back to our rooms, took all of the wet clothes off, you know, again, figured out what else we were going to eat or how we were going to eat. But it was those moments where we were just literally having fun with each other because we enjoyed each other's company. And because, again, there was nothing else for us to do but really get to know one another. Unfortunately, in 94, literally cooped up, I think day two, I found out that my aunt had passed away. And in my little suite, of course, with my roommate, one of my good friends who was a next door neighbor, again, they were coming over to console me the whole time. That was another thing that, you know, again, just finding your tribe and understanding who your community are and leaning on each other in times of crisis, because yes, campus being shut down for a week, that's a crisis.
And I think it speaks to what we talked about last week about on that spring checklist, you know, finding your tribe, meeting new people on campus. My experience was a little different than yours because I didn't live on campus, but I had friends on different campuses and we all had our own houses that we were renting or apartments that we were renting. So it was kind of like, who has the bigger house? Okay, who's bringing what? Okay, we're on the way. And everybody kind of brought something to contribute to the experience because we knew once we got locked in, we couldn't go anywhere. And so I didn't have the experience of what happened on campus, but I definitely still had those experiences. And those are the things that you still talk about when you go down that road of memories when it comes to your college experience. You know, those friendships are real and you learn things about people. Like you said, you lost an auntie during that time period. So there's a group of girls who remembers that happening to you that you know, kind of rallied up around you and really tried to, you know, really supported you as much as they knew how to. You say we were adults. You know, I still deny that. I don't think anybody who was 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 is an adult at all. I think that they're learning what that looks like. But we were big kids, right? I believe one of those moments is when I had a broken pinky toe because we were playing around in the house and my slid broke my toe. You know, those are the kinds of things that happen when you have a little bit too much free time, you know, a little bit too much free time. And, you know, you just having a good time and you're just loose and, you know, letting go and letting free and really having that, that connection with your friends, which I think, like we said before, is really important. But then there's some things I think that we should take into consideration because, you know, there's some campuses that don't experience this. But the things that you can do during this time frame, outside of going outside and having fun and trying to figure out what to eat, you know, making sure that you tap into tap out of that wonderful phone, tablet, computer that we have, you know, make sure you go outside, get some fresh air, just breathe a little bit of it in, crack a window, you know, and just, don't just eat dry foods, as my father calls them. Try to get something in your system that is a different color of the rainbow so your body doesn't ail.
But just think about it too, because like I said, I was a Midwesterner, so I'm used to the snow. But think about those children that come from California and the South who have never experienced snow before. Yeah,
first.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you know, literally, they don't even have, they're not prepared. They don't even have the right kind of coats. So literally all they're doing is layering on hoodies left and right and trying to layer up to keep warm. But then it's like, oh, this is a part of life now. So I might graduate from here and stay here. So I have to be prepared. I have to know how to navigate in this type of climate. So yes, a lot of people.
That's a good thing to, I didn't even think about that, and you're absolutely right. So, I mean, ask a friend that you know who's from Cali, and if you're from the Midwest and you got an extra coat, this might be the time to lend it to a friend, and they would appreciate that. Or everyone's going to get on Amazon and start ordering coats that they can afford to or something, because that is absolutely correct. Like, not knowing what the weather is like in different areas is something that, you know, you don't really take it. I don't think. Who, raise your hand if you took into consideration the climate of the city that you were going to for school. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously I didn't, because I didn't go outside of my city, but you knew you were coming from the Midwest, right? And coming to a place that was milder. Not as cold.
I mean, I do know the weather was milder. And then, I mean, I was fortunate because, you know, I'm a legacy. I was always coming east anyway. So I kind of, you know, I'm going to have a coat anyway. But one of the things that you said, I want to go back to one of the things that you talked about when you were living in your off-campus situations. Can I tell you, though, and this is something else that we don't think about, and when we are, you know, in the midst of the moment, I remember going to a party off campus, and the street might sound familiar to you. I think we were either on Greenwood, Greenbrier, something. One of them.
Greenmount.
Mm-hmm. And somebody had rented a row house. And for whatever reason, they decided to have a party in that row house. And I know they had to be paying rent. And I know they had to put down a security deposit. But the party got so out of control. And not out of control that it was, you know, a bad party. It was probably about 90 people,
a lot of people
in that house. And again, one of those, probably no more than 2 or 3 bedroom row houses, living room, dining room, kitchen, but party jumping. And I mean, it was jumping. And they were like, well, there's more drinks and stuff in the basement. So I went downstairs in the basement to get something. And I looked up and all you could see was the joists of the floor jumping up and down because of all the people. It was the joists bumping up and down, and it was the sweat on the wall. And I thought about it. I'm like, we don't think about these. We think about these things in hindsight as adults, but what if the floor would have broke in there? And like I said, college students and not understanding what your landlord will and will not repair, if they knew that about 90 people was in that house, you get put out the next day.
Yeah, so think about that. That's a really good capacity level. Well, you know what? These kids don't. Well, I hope. I'm going to say this out loud. Don't judge me. But I hope that y'all are having a good time and you are having house parties and you are having that, because that's part of the experience. But take that. I don't know whether or not this generation really does that. I hope that they still do. Because all I see is a big room full of people on their phones. I don't really know how they engage with each other anymore, but I would hope that, you know, that some of us do leave school having those experiences, because again, those are definitely great experiences. And I remember having and hearing about circumstances, you know, holes coming in the floor, and because the building's too, the place is too full, walls and holes in walls, things like that. But yeah, but these are all the things that you get real creative with when you're around new people and exploring new places and new things. Back then, the only way you were getting around was either the bus or a cab if you didn't have a car. Now you have Uber. So I mean, don't take into consideration the severity of the weather, even though you can still hop in an Uber or things like that, be careful. You know, make sure that there's not ice on the ground when you're getting out of the car, for those who are not familiar. Uggs keep your feet warm, but they're not necessarily, they don't have a good grip, mm-hmm. ladies. So if you're wearing your Uggs, be careful. Those are not the ones. College is when I definitely acquired a good pair of what I call rain boots. Some people say galoshes, but they have a grip. So take those things into consideration. Those, they keep your feet warm, but they're also grippy. So you can,
get back, you know, I'm across campus. And like I said, I had that kind of mother. You know, my mother was originally from the Midwest, but I also had that kind of mother that no matter what, I don't care what the weather was, you, unless it's your own choice, you're going to bundle up. One thing, you're going to be warm because you never know when you're going to, I know you heard this. You never know when you're gonna get stuck on the side of the road. And definitely mm-hmm. in Maryland, mm-hmm. when yeah. the weather is like yeah. that, you're gonna get stuck on the side of the road. Right. So, absolutely. So be prepared. But also let's talk about some of those resources that are available in these types of situations, because the student union, I mean, you know, there's always game time, pool tables and everything in there, right. televisions, there's lounges. That's the time for yeah. everybody to kind of converge. There's vending machines. If you didn't have anything to eat, just hope that everybody yep. had the same idea as you. And by the time you got there, the vending machine was empty.
But, oh, wait, here's a good one. Here's a good one. You might only have $10, but your roommate got 10 and somebody down the hall got 10 and y'all have Instacart. So yeah. you can go grocery shopping online. Now, we could not do that. We took a run to Sunny's around the corner from the house, or that little grocery store that was just not my type of grocery store back then. But be utilize your resources. Add it all up. Send it all to one Cash App. Somebody Instacart some groceries. Walmart doesn't charge a fee, but get you some food and think about it. If it's going to be cold, you need something warm. Hot chocolate, and buy it in bulk. You know, this is when you have to trust the people who are around you. You can get the hot chocolate, somebody else can get the coffee, somebody else can get the creamer, somebody else can get the pan. You can make you some tuna casserole soup, some gumbo, some ramen, some something. But be even, creative.
Don't go there because you're
going to okay, wait, hold up. I got to interject just a little bit, because I feel like this is targeted towards schools that actually have a population or in an area or a population where they can do that. Like I went to Grambling. There is no calling, no Instacart. At a grocery
y'all were in the country.
You know what I mean? And I know there's other schools out here that don't. And I literally had to step off a plane after a blizzard at home and took hella hot water to get to school for school to be shut down because there was an ice storm there. And that was not the typical weather in Louisiana. Mind you, when I got to school, it was 80 degrees. And then a couple days later, we have an ice storm. So,
what?
Yes.
Okay.
And there were some people who got back to school after I did. So being able to get groceries and stock up before we had that ice storm, it was a lot of people did not. So your tribe and those situations become your everything. You have friends or family like from the area, like woo. Those are the people that'll be your saving grace in situations like that, for real.
And so Nika, I think to your point that we go back to that checklist, like, and it might just be, you know, make sure you're aware of what the weather's going to be. You know, I didn't become real weather aware again until I got to college, when the weather affected me moving around outside of having my parents around. So that's a really good point, Nika, because, you know, Grambling is not the only one. We know a lot of our HBCUs are in locations that don't have, even to this day in 2023, don't have the Instacarts, the delivery systems, and all those other things. So really good point. I'm going to need y'all to get on it right now. Find somebody with the car that can get you where you need to go or back
to what you need. Even to Nika's point, even the types of appliances that you have in your room, if you got a hot pot, I mean, hot pot, hot dogs, let me tell you how to be a budget gourmet. The hot pot that your coffee pot, make hot dogs, Kraft macaroni and cheese. To that point, we were all the way out in Amish territory. Again, workers couldn't come to us. Good friends next door. I had the tuna. They had the oodles and noodles. We did have a kitchen. I mean, our building was so old, we had a kitchen. But you never put anything in the kitchen because it was public. And, you know, there's thievery. You know, I don't care how big you put your name on the orange juice. There was one time I literally acted a complete fool because they drank my whole gallon.
Who drank my orange juice?
And not only that, and it was funny because that movie came out like years later. I was like, somebody, that must have been, and it was Eve. I was like, that must have been somebody that was in my dorm that day. But to Nika's point, because we were in the middle of Amish territory, the grocery store was like 9 miles away. Freshmen could not have cars. So when we did go to the grocery store, everybody piled up, everybody had their list. But for you, because this is an open area, not to be courteous enough, because there's still people out there like that, not to be courteous enough just to come. And I had, matter of fact, I had my name, and you know my name, so you know, can I have some of your orange juice? Sure. But you was going in there just drinking the whole damn thing. And it could have been somebody who had a visitor come in, you know how dudes do, and just like, oh, I'm just going to open up the refrigerator and drink whatever's in it. But we had a kitchen. The point was, we had a kitchen. So there were some people who had pots and pans, and we called ourselves putting together a seafood casserole. It was so nasty, but we came together. We had a meal. We had a meal on our stomachs to hold us over. But also, there's certain little things that you can get by. Like, I sent my son to school with an Instapot. So that's versatile. He could make, and to your point, Mia, dry foods. He can make oatmeal whenever he needs, grits, just having stuff that's non-perishable. Grits, you can make hot dogs, you can make pasta, but a small Instapot, a coffee pot will help. I mean, depending on the school, and I ain't saying this out loud because I already know I had a myriad of illegal appliances, but I had a small electric skillet. I had a toaster oven. I had a microwave. I'm going to tell you who was not going to go hungry.
Right. Right. So those are really good. Just, you know, just it's all about knowing who's in your village, becoming a village, utilizing your resources, and developing those survival skills. Yes. Because there is no experience like this outside of the real world, which is why we're here with the real, because these will be things that you will experience beyond college. You know, you'll get that first job and overspend because you're under budgeted, or, you know, things you might have to figure out how to eat for a week when you never had to really worry about a meal. All of these things come into play, and it kind of prepares you. It prepares you for those moments so that you know how to survive and to get by and when means are not necessarily met to the accommodations you're used to. And that's just the real of it all.
And let's talk about one thing that that's actually unique to Morgan that I can appreciate that has happened in the last...
We have a minute and 21 seconds.
Okay. That there's something that happened in Morgan about a year ago. They have a food pantry now for that food, those students on campus that are food insecure. Yes. So, yes. So I hope if you are at a different HBCU that might not have one, and you know that there's someone that is food insecure, bring that to your administration.
Or your student government.
Yes.
Your student government, because they could do an on-campus drive and have it in a central location where someone manages it so that people who are on campus know that they have somewhere to go. That's really good because, again, you have people who don't have families, which means they have no one to lean on for anything. They have nothing. They couldn't afford the meal plan. You don't believe that it's true, but it's true with some folks who are on campus who are just getting by. And that is, oh, that's beautiful. I didn't know Morgan had that. Oh, shout out MSAU. But if you're on a school like Tayon said, if they don't have it, you know, challenge them and say, hey, this is a good idea. I have two people I know who are hungry every day because they don't have food. I love it. But this winter survival situation is real here in Atlanta. Like I said, they're shutting it down because it's gonna be cold. 17 degrees, not even below, but 17 degrees. I got word at home from my dad and my sister that Baltimore has some